Well, good morning. Good morning. Wonderful to see everyone, and wonderful to be in sunny Liverpool. Yeah. And I come from sunny Warrington down the road, born and bred in Warrington, and had a bit of a journey since then. In 20 years in South Africa, and now 15 years in Edinburgh. And it's a delight to be here today. And to celebrate with you today, as Russ said, we lead a church in Edinburgh, so I want to just bring greetings from that church to you, 3CI in Edinburgh. And it's a great thing to partner with you guys here in Liverpool and with other churches in the nation. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, just to be in this incredible relationship with Jesus. And we were just chatting with June earlier here, I'm not sure if we've met before, but I haven't spoken to you, I don't think, before, June, but hearing her story of how she encountered Jesus. And how God encounters us personally, and then he places us in a family. Yeah. And actually, I was born in a family just down the road in Warrington, but when I was 18 years old, I became a Christian. I had an encounter with Jesus in my bedroom. That changed my life forever, and I became part of the greatest family on earth. And so are you. It's an incredible thing, just to look around here this morning and see Scousers and people from different parts of the UK, maybe different nations. You found your way to Liverpool. Liverpool's a great city. The only three times I've watched football live, apart from on telly, was at Anfield three times. I'm dating myself now, in the 1970s. You wouldn't have believed it was the 70s, but it was. That was the Shankly era, and but I have to say, I confess my sins, I supported Leeds United. So I went to watch Liverpool and Leeds on New Year's Day in 1970, and one of the few times that Liverpool lost at home 2-1. And Leeds won the league that year as well. So, yeah, that's right. But it's looking good for Liverpool this year.
Amen.
Yeah, so keep praying. Yeah, but it's great to be here. And it really is a privilege. And today is a family celebration because, as Russ mentioned, Ken and Jeanette are going to be welcomed into eldership today alongside Russ and Bibi. And they're going to be prayed for. And we're going to trust for, just God to speak. God's already been speaking in this meeting this morning. And because this is an incredible moment today for any church, when, because elders are the fathers or the father figures and the fathers of the local family. The term elder is actually used in the New Testament, but it's a carryover from the Old Testament, where the elders were the fathers of the tribes. And so Paul continues to use that term into the New Testament, because actually the picture is this: the church is a family. The ultimate revelation of church is family, because the ultimate revelation of God is Father. It's an incredible thing, isn't it? When we see Jesus dying on that cross, we see his arms spread-eagled on that cross. There's a cry of the Father that says, come home. Come home to my heart. Come home into the lounge. Come home into the throne room. Come. There's a Father saying, come, there's a way back home. Because we've all born actually homeless. There's a homelessness in the heart of every human being. A longing for God, a longing to belong. And actually, the cry of thousands of people across this city, this great city of Liverpool, is there's a longing for belonging. And the good news that we carry is that we found the solution to that longing, and it's in the Father, and it's through Jesus Christ, because he's the only way to the Father. And so he's excited about today, because actually he longs for more people to be added to his family and this family. And he celebrates when people make themselves available to his voice, to his call, to his anointing, to step into what he's called them to be and to do. And the wonderful thing is that each of us as his children have a calling and anointing on our lives. Just turn to the person next to you and say... Do You're significant because of Jesus. And turn back to them and say, that is really true. See, that's not just a mantra. It's not just a nice little slogan. It's truth that can set us free, that does set us free, actually, because we all have a part to play. There's no small parts in the body of Christ. There's no insignificant parts. Each part actually is indispensable because of the value that God has placed on your life. We're going to read some scriptures shortly that describe something of that. But this is a gear shift in the life of this church today for increased fruitfulness. Not because of who Ken and Jeanette are, or not because of just the eldership team and who they are, but because of the plans of God through this church to reach multitudes in the city. Yeah, Jesus has shepherding plans for this city of Liverpool. He has fishing plans. Yes. He has shepherding plans. And this is part of the plan to release all the saints at Gateway into the more of God. And so that we all step up and rise up. So we've been praying into this time. And as we were praying, Lynn had a sense of God speaking prophetically something into the life of the church. So I don't know if we got another mic we could use. Yeah, Lynn's just going to share that.
Morning, everybody. Yes, as we were praying last week, I just got an encouragement, really, to encourage you that you are all the A team. Amen. It's not just the leadership team. You're all the A team. And the Lord is expecting you to play your A game. And the impression I got was of, I suppose, a football team. It could be a rugby team running through the tunnel and up the onto the pitch. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, the team running onto the pitch from the tunnel. But the captains usually have a child in full kit as well. They're members of the team. The people on the substitute bench are trained and ready to go, but the impression I got was all of you were on the pitch. Everybody was on the pitch, and it wasn't sort of a last ditch. We need everybody. We've got to win this. You are the A team playing your A game, playing from a position of victory. It was wonderful. More a, yeah, we've got amen. This. Amen.
Yeah, and leadership is a servant function to equip everyone to play their A game to the best for the glory of Jesus, yeah? Somebody said the world at its worst needs the church at its best. And for the church to be its best, we need you to be the best you can be. And so when you look in, I was reminded as we prayed into this time, when you look in the book of Acts, the early church, wherever there were moments where leaders or elders were appointed or released, in Acts chapter 1, where Matthias takes the place of Judas, there was an outpouring. It was preceded the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 6, where 7 people were set apart to fulfill a role to help with a food distribution scheme, where widows who had been neglected, the apostles realized that we can't do this all. The elders at the time, the 12 elders, realized, we can't do this all, and they sought out people among them. They didn't just ask for volunteers, but they sought out people among them who were full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And they set them apart, they prayed for them, they laid hands upon them, and there was an incredible shift that happened, actually, in the church at that moment. I'll come back to that later. Incredible shift. And then in Acts chapter 13, there's a ministry team in the church at Antioch, 5 people who are described as prophets and teachers. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord with prayer and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Paul and Barnabas, 2 of those 5, to the work which I have called them. And what happened there was they went out into an apostolic kind of work, and suddenly there's an incredible shift out of that base church in Antioch. And I believe that this morning, as as Ken and Jeanette come onto this eldership team, that there's a gear shift. There's a gear shift for increased fruitfulness through this church. Lynn mentioned the A team. We're all part of the A team. And for me, that A speaks of an army. A for army. It speaks of all in, the all dynamic. And it speaks today of apostolic advancement. An advancement, an adventure with Jesus. And something of a shift that God wants to bring through what he's doing in the life of the church here. So I'm going to read two scriptures quickly that talk about eldership and how elders, biblical elders, operate. But what I want us to focus on it also today is how this inspires the A team. How sounded like Mission Impossible. how that inspires the A team to be all in, the whole church, to joyfully follow the leaders and fulfill Christ's mission. Okay, so 1 Peter 2:25 says this, "For you were like sheep going astray." That's all. This is applicable for all of us. It's actually applicable to every person in Liverpool. "For you are like sheep going astray, but have now returned." He's talking to believers here. "You've now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Now, we're going to see as we go through this message today that actually Jesus is the shepherd who oversees and leads us out and leads us in and leads us on. And he raises up overseers who are called elders to shepherd the flock of God, to raise people up in him, to lead them, to gather them in, to lead them out, and to lead them on. And so the wonderful thing about this text for me is my wife's a physio, and we have a few nurses and care workers and in the church in Edinburgh. And I've got high regard for, in fact, Lynn's middle sister, Joy, is also in, younger sister, sorry, Joy, is a nurse. And her middle sister was also in oncology. I've got a high regard for the medical profession. God gifts people to take care of us. Yeah, wouldn't you agree? Our bodies and to care for us in many, many different ways. But when it comes to the soul, there's only one person who can restore a soul, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Morning. Welcome. Wonderful to have you with us. And it's important for us to remember that, friends, that whilst we hospitals and doctors and nurses whom we love and respect and admire and appreciate can help us restore our bodies, there's only one person who can restore a soul. Yes. And this is the shepherd that we are serving. This is the shepherd who gave his life for souls, for our lives. And this is the one, and this is what eldering and leading in the household of God is all about, is actually pointing people to the ultimate king, the ultimate shepherd, and the one who can restore our soul. Psalm 23, he restores my soul. That word restore in the Hebrew, it means to mend together by stitching. And when we come to Jesus and open up our hearts, there's a process by where he can stitch up our lives and make them whole. He did that in my life. I struggled with lust as a teenager. I needed freedom in certain areas. I'd come from a religious background. But when I came to Jesus and laid that on the floor, he brought freedom to my life, and he started a process of restoring my soul. It's a process. He saved my life. I was born again, but he started to restore my soul. The soul is my mind, my emotions, my ability to make good choices. And when we put our hands in the hands of the one who shaped us and shapes the world, he starts to mold us and shape us into the right shape. Yeah, we're all bent out of shape. But he starts to shape us in the right way. Yeah? So he's the restorer of our lives. So First Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read about elders who are to be the shepherds of the flock. And it says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort," Peter speaking, "I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory." Russ spoke about glory. He's a partaker of the glory. We partake of that glory that will be revealed, but we partake of it now. "Shepherd the flock of God," he says to the elders, "which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords or masters over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd," that is Jesus, "appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." It's an amazing text about the responsibility and the roles of elders and what they model and live out. And so we're going to look at a few of those things this morning in terms of what do elders do and how does it inspire the whole church family to live out this calling in Jesus. Firstly, elders work together in team. They inspire the whole church with a team dynamic. They inspire the A team to be a team. The A team, we said, is the whole church. And notice it's elders in plural. 99% of the references to elders in the New Testament are in the plural. In fact, I think the only one that's in the singular is in that text where he says fellow elder. Everything else is in the plural. In other words, leadership in the New Testament church, leadership biblically, is not invested in one man. It's invested in a team. And there's safety in that, and there's health in that, because I have clay feet or blind spots. Let me give you some revelation this morning. I cannot see my back. But you can. We all have blind spots. Fatal flaws, C.S. Lewis calls them, in our lives, that actually we need others around us to, that we are accountable to, that we are in relationship with, who can help us with that. Marriage is, that's what marriage is about. Marriage is very painful. We used to have an expression in, Lynn and I have been married almost 32 years. We used to have an expression in South Africa called lekker seer, which means nice pain. That's marriage. Marriage is a wonderful thing. It really is. If you are married or if you're still to be married, it's a wonderful thing. I want to encourage you. Marriage is an incredible thing. Martin Luther said marriage is God's best way of explaining himself. Marriage is an incredible thing. We read about it in the scriptures in Ephesians 5. But the thing of nice pain with marriage is that marriage, I think it was Grant Crawford who said, the best husband is, or the best spouse is a dead spouse. In other words, marriage is about dying to your own desires and your own needs and your own gratification and actually living for the benefit of somebody else. It's not 50-50, 50% me, 50% Lynn. It's actually 100% and 100%. That's the aim there, and that's why it's challenging. Because actually marriage works when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and God gives you his kind of love, which is not a getting love, but a giving love. It's not a self-serving, but a sacrificial love. And so if you can picture here, we often talk in marriage about the other half. Yeah, how's your other half doing, you know? So if you can picture, you know, an egg, and you break it, but it doesn't, it kind of comes out like that, yeah? Two halves of an egg, can you picture that? Yeah. You've broken it. So you've got the highs of the one half fit into the lows of the other half. Do you get the picture? Yes. The highs and the lows, and they form one whole. It's the same in team ministry. It's the same in a team dynamic in the local church. It's the same in this eldership team that's being enlarged today. The strengths of one covers the weaknesses of the other. But not only covers, actually speaks into. Highlights, that's the pain. But team is God's way to actually remove pride from our lives. Deal with self. Deal with, I want to do things just one way. And so it's an amazing thing, the dynamic of team. And right throughout the Bible, we see this theme of team. God himself is a team. We see the theme of marriage through the Bible. Moses had a team. Moses was trying to lead on his own. And Jethro, a father-in-law, said, "What you're doing is not good. You need to get a team around you, otherwise you'll burn out." And he took his advice and he got people around him, and he had captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, captains of fifties, and captains of tens. And as a result, he powered on, and so did the whole nation. David had a team of mighty men. Jesus had a team. He built ministry around a team of three, a team of 12. You see, this theme of team right through the scriptures. And as we go into the book of Acts, we see apostolic teams. We see eldership teams. And we see in Acts 14:23 and Titus 1:5 and in Philippians 1 verse 1, a partnership between an apostolic team led by Paul and others and local churches that he had planted. And so what's happening today is that Lynn and I, who are part of the wider apostolic team that this local church partners with and relates to, have been invited by the elders to come and be part of this moment today. Because we see it's biblical that actually in the New Testament, people who are partnering with others in local churches came in from that kind of context and prayed for and released guys into eldership. So we're not, what we're doing today is not sort of a religious ceremony. It's a biblical pattern to release when you do God's will, God's way, you see God's power released. Yes. This is what's happening today, is a wineskin for more of the wine of the Holy Spirit to flow in greater power. So elders, biblically, are the highest human authority in the local church. Now, that doesn't mean that they lead from the top. It actually means that they lead from the bottom. Because eldership is a serving function. But from a point of view of authority, they are the highest. From God's point of view, they're the father figures, in the local church. And I want to encourage Ken and Jeanette, along with Russ and Bibi, to rejoice in their differences, to celebrate their differences. Yeah, that's, as we said about marriage, so it is in a team. Russ, just come and stand here. Ken, just come and stand here for a minute. Clearly, you can see these guys are different. You know, kind of a different height, different shape, probably different shoe size, and they've got different gifts. Yeah, Russ, and what we know of Russ, I mean, you'll know him better than we do, but Russ is a prophetic, pastoral guy, preaches from the heart, empowers people. I mean, quite early on in the life of this church, you know, I said to Russ when we'd been in or we'd just chatted with a few of the folk here, I said, well done. I can see people being enlarged. I can see people's wings being spreading, catching more of the thermals of what God wants for their lives. There's a sense of he puts wind in people's sails and an incredible thing. And he's got an apostolic heart, big picture heart. Ken. We're getting to know Ken. We've known Ken and Jeanette for a number of years, actually. A number of years. We went into Zimbabwe for many years when they were part of that church. And when Ian and Bernadine were leading a church, they led a church in Zimbabwe for how many years, Ken?
We led it for 12 years, Ian and Bernie for about 7.
So it's a church that's well established over 20 years, and 12 of which Ken and Jeanette led that church in Harare. And we went into that church, great church. And Ken's got a wonderful teaching gift and very, very pastoral, loves people. There's just the it's a wonderful thing of prophetic teaching, heart, preaching, pastoral mix. And God puts these strengths together. And thanks, guys. And what it is, it's synergy. Have you heard of that word synergy? That the sum of the parts, that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Yes.
Yeah. The Bible says one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000, not 2,000. You see, there's a multiplication, there's a coefficiency when we start to work together in the giftings of God, the callings of God, the anointing of God, and the personality and the experiences. There's a wealth of experience here that's coming together that's going to actually do you good. Amen. And many other people good. So remember SHAPE. We've all got a SHAPE. It's an acronym for spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experience. We all have spiritual gifts, we've got a heart, things that are passion for different things, abilities, God-given abilities that God's given us, a personality that's unique, and experiences of life. And those all come to shape who we are. And there's and so I want you to rejoice in this shaping of the church further this morning. And the shaping of this eldership team coming together. But I want to say this, that it's true of everybody. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, Peter says, as each one has received a gift, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the grace of God, of the manifold grace of God. So that, it goes on to say, in all things, that Jesus Christ would be glorified. Get the credit, get the honor for everything. So the responsibility of these guys as elders is to recognize in the saints what people's gifts are, to involve them, to delegate more responsibility to them, to empower them so that they can move, each one of us can move forward into all that God has for us. So I want to encourage you, Ken, this morning. Ken shared over this weekend, actually. We had an elders' time, elders around the UK. A wonderful time, thank you as a church for hosting this time. Maybe you didn't know you hosted a time, but you just hosted a wonderful elders' time in this building Friday and Saturday. And there was 30 to 40 elders and wives here from around the UK. We appreciate your hospitality. And Ken shared with another guy about sort of some experiences in ministry. And what I'm learning, and Ken and Jeanette were up in Edinburgh with us a couple of weeks ago, and we had had a night or so with them, and it was great to catch up with them, that here is a secure man that actually is still vulnerable and happy to share life experiences with people about his journey, what he's learned. And that's an incredible thing, friends. And I want to just encourage you, I want to commend you for that, Ken. And I want to encourage you to be secure in this new phase. Lynn's got a prophetic word which you can share later, which kind of encapsulates something of, I believe it's like an affirmation and a commendation and an encouragement, Ken, as we said just now, you've got your own shoe size. You know, walk in those shoes. Yeah, and just be who you are. And it's true for all of us, friends. Each one of us, remember what we said here, the elders inspire the whole church in these things. And each one of us is an original. Don't die a copy. Be who you are. So elders work in teams. Secondly, elders operate with a God-given anointed authority. Elders operate with a God-given anointed authority, and so do you. Elders inspire the church, every believer, to live in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. But I want to just focus on this thing of elders operating in anointing. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "Take heed to," Paul says this to elders, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased, Jesus purchased, with his own blood. Elders are made, that text says, elders are made, fashioned, forged, and anointed by the Holy Spirit. What we are recognizing here today is a work of the Holy Spirit. That's very important. What we're recognizing today is a calling of the Holy Spirit. What we're recognizing today is a work of the Holy Spirit. That is the most important thing in walking, in assuming a role, is knowing that God has called you into that role. And because where God calls, he anoints. Where God appoints, he anoints. Where God anoints, he appoints. Yeah? The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are irreversible. And there's an anointing that comes with the call. God calls and he equips and he anoints for the call. It's very important. There's no authority invested in the office alone. Authority comes from the anointing and call of God. And the authority that elders carry is a loving, sacrificial, serving, fatherly authority. It's a fatherly authority, as we said earlier. So today, if I can put it this way, as a church family, we don't submit to their authority. We submit to the authority of God that we recognize on them. I'll say that again. We don't submit to their authority. We submit to the authority of God that we recognize on them. Now, we actually see that so clearly, generally, that we do submit to, it's like to their authority. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it's an important thing that we understand that actually it's what we're doing today, friends, is we are recognizing the voice of God that has spoken, and we're recognizing the anointing of God on their lives, and we're recognizing the authority of God that goes with that. It all comes from God. That's what we're recognizing. And part of that is a submission to their leadership and an honoring of that leadership, because we recognize this is a God thing. This is from God. It's a wonderful thing. We celebrate it. It's an anointing and it's a calling. And the way elders lead us as father figures inspires us as Christians. Christians. The word Christ means anointed one. So turn to the person behind you this time, or in front of you, say, you are, as a Christian, you're an anointed one. And when you go into your school, your university, your office, your workplace tomorrow, the function of elders and the function of church and the teaching of God's word and the empowering of the Holy Spirit is to encourage you to be confident to step into that space and say with conviction, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring life, to bring love, to bring freedom, to bring truth to people in my circle of influence. That's why anointing is indispensable to ministry and life as a believer. Thirdly, elders shepherd the flock of God. They're shepherds. What do they inspire us to be and to do as shepherds? Firstly, they inspire a culture of genuine care, where we actually genuinely care for each other. Elders are to be amongst the flock, getting their hands dirty, not separate or aloof from the flock. Yeah, that's the biblical picture. Elders are involved in the concerns, the anxieties, the fears, the dreams, the desires of people's lives. They're amongst the flock. They value the detail. You know, God loves detail. It says in Psalm 37 that he delights in the detail, in every detail of our lives. Amazing thing. Isn't he busy with keeping the universe going? He's God. Elders give attention to the detail. And in doing so, people pick up, I'm valued. I'm valued. It's an incredible thing, care. I read this scripture over the elders' time. It says in Psalm 68, a father to the fatherless, defender of widows, this is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely, the isolated, the people who feel separate, he places them in families. He sets the prisoner free and gives them joy. And I shared this illustration. I'm going to share it again quickly. There's a lady in our church called Doreen. She works with Lynn in the cafe that we run out of our church. She started a craft group a couple of years ago on a Friday morning. And a few weeks into the craft group, I said to her, how's it going? I said, oh, I'm loving it. I thought, oh, man, this thing's really taken off. She said, no, it's just two people coming. I said, but I'm loving it. After about 6 weeks, I said, how's it going? Ah, oh, it's great. Still the same two. One lady from the church, another lady from outside the church. And the lady from outside the church, I won't give her a real name. We'll call her June, just because that's not her name. And I'll call her husband Bob, because that's not his name either. So June starts coming to Doreen's craft group, and they're around the table as they're doing crafts, she starts to open up her world. Doreen is interested in hearing and listening, and that's one of the reasons that she's loving the craft group, because actually it's quite small and she can engage and give attention to the detail. And over the process of time, she starts coming to church, June, and then she brings Bob, her husband. And then on one particular meeting, and in fact, a number of meetings, June comes forward for prayer, and God brings an amazing freedom to her life as God just breaks things off her life. And then out of the blue, when one person's getting baptized in the church, Bob, who's the husband, who's in his 60s, touching 70, comes forward with tears in his eyes one Sunday morning to me. The baptism's next Sunday. He says, I want to get baptized too. During that week, this couple are now part of a small group, and the deacon couple leading that small group, Roy phones me in the week and says, there's another baptism for next Sunday. There's a third one. I said, oh, who's that? He says, it's June. I said, oh, because she'd had a Christian experience before coming to us. So I said, oh, I thought she'd been baptized, maybe been baptized before. He said, she has. As a Mormon. I said, oh, wow. Okay, that could explain why God's been bringing a bit of freedom to her life. Anyway, she got baptized with her husband that following Sunday. As he came out of the water, his face, and this 65, 70-year-old, his face was just radiant. It's like, man, you've encountered God under that water. They now host a home group in their home. That's the power of giving attention to the detail in one person's life. I want to encourage you this morning, go for the one. It's Heidi Baker. Go for the one. It's all over Scripture. One woman at one well went back to a whole community and said, come and see a man, Jesus. One man in one region named Legion became the evangelist to that region because Jesus encountered his life. He wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus said, no, stay at home and hit the region. He said, go for the one. You don't know who that one is going to be or become. Yeah? Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Attention to detail. Personal thing. This is personal. Elders also inspire a culture of willing and eager service. The text said, serving as overseers, willingly, eagerly. It's an amazing thing. Not for what we can get out of it, but for what we put into it, serving others. You know, Jesus said, you'll never graduate out of serving. So we might as well do it now, because you're going to be doing it in heaven. Yeah, it says in the book of Revelation, we'll serve him day and night. Yeah, so let's get on with it now. We've got Reg and Val with us here, who are on eldership with us back in Edinburgh. They are servants deluxe. You know, Reg has the gift of helps plus 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 plus. Yeah, and it's an incredible thing, friends. Serving provides the railway tracks for the glory of God to come. It actually takes the distractions out of the way so that Jesus is the main part of the menu. What do I mean by that? So we have people serving on the sound desk at the back this morning, on the projector. We had people serving in front here as musicians. Hopefully I'm serving as I'm preaching. And there'll be coffee, and look at all this wonderful food here. You know, somebody has taken time to prepare that. That's serving. Somebody was vacuuming the floor here. Somebody put out chairs here for us to sit on this morning. All of this creates a space for God to come. There's a list up on the wall there of teams, serving teams. It says if you want to help, sign up. We have a thing in our church that when people come to look in and you know, it's about family and it's about friendship first. Yeah? That's what it's about. It's about relationship. But as people come in and get to know us and we build with them and it's wonderful, we encourage them through our vision and values to actually become part of a serving team. And this is what we say. This is who we serve. He's a servant king. It's who we serve. This is how he lived. This is how we share his love with others. So that actually when the guest comes through, there's at least one person who's here new this morning. I met a gentleman this morning for the first time here. It's at least one. So that when somebody comes through the door for the first time, they're coming into an environment that actually is welcoming. They can be hosted. And they just feel at home and relaxed. But that's created by a servant culture. This house desires guests. We want to welcome people in. It doesn't just happen. So I want to encourage you. Elders serve. They serve. Let's serve him. Amen. Together. Amen. Willingly. There you go. Joyfully and eagerly. Also, elders lead with integrity. This is part of shepherding. They lead with integrity. They inspire others by their character, their consistency, and their credibility over time. It says in Hebrews 13, verse 7, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, the same forever. And just prior to that verse, it says, follow those who are your leaders. Follow them and consider the outcome of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's an amazing flow of text there. What he's saying is there, follow leaders that are following Jesus, that are consistent yesterday, today, and forever. There's a consistency. The Message Bible says there should be a consistency that runs through us all. The best leaders in the church are the straight line leaders. They're leaders in the straight line. They're consistent. You can build your life on leaders like that. Yeah, you're like building a wall. You can't build a wall with a, you know, like that. You need a spirit level, yeah? Make sure it's straight. And the spirit of leaders needs to be level. Straight over time. Consistent in character, consistent in marriage, consistent in credibility. One of my heroes in life is Lynn's dad. He's in his 80s now, 85. And a number of years ago, all three of Jerry's daughters have married guys who, at various times of their life, have been elders in different churches. And take me out of the picture. The other two, you can describe them like this: Mr. Consistency. They're just consistent. You can rely on them. But here's the thing. The daughters married sons like their dad. For all the fathers here this morning, if you have daughters, that's an incredible responsibility, but also opportunity. Because when you model your life on Jesus, your daughters will marry people like you. And on one birthday, the youngest daughter sent a card to Lynn's dad and said, "I just want to thank you for being a consistent, godly example." This is now, she's been out of the home for years and years and years, married for many years. Sends a card on Father's Day. "I just want to thank you for being a consistent, godly example to me and to us. We are living in the good of it today." And she gave him a scripture, Proverbs 20, verse 7. "A righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him." Fathers in the church lead with integrity, and the children following them, the people of God following them, are blessed after them. So can I just ask you a quick question? Is your life consistent? Are you faithful? Are you reliable? Because actually the church of Jesus is built on faithful men and women. Paul said to Timothy, "The things that you've learned from me, teach to faithful men who will teach others also." And can you, are you a woman, a man or a woman that your leaders can count on? Reliable, consistent in your words, your promises, your timekeeping, your finances. Are you inspiring others to become more like Jesus, who is always consistent? I'm coming into land. Elders shepherd by protecting the flock. They inspire a culture of truth in the whole church. They teach the word of God. It's the Bible plus nothing or the Bible minus nothing. They are people of the word of God. That's what elders do. People of the truth. And finally, elders oversee God's family with prophetic vision. We said that they are overseers, yeah? They do this, yeah? They oversee. They're not above, but they scope. They oversee. They look over. They watch over. They take care of. They guard. They govern, they have authority, they guide, and they guard, and they gather people. But they watch over, they inspire the whole church to catch the bigness of God's heart for his world. And I see that in Russ, and I see it in Ken. They've got an apostolic view. They see beyond. They have a heart for people, and they have a heart for more. Because God's got a heart for people, and he's got a heart for the people outside to come in. He's got a heart for them more. And it's got a heart not just for Liverpool, but for the northwest region of England, for the United Kingdom, for Europe and the nations beyond. Amen. Gateway to the neighborhoods and nations. Elders communicate that heart to people. They catch the bigness of God's heart. So we're going to pray for Ken and Jeanette, and we're going to invite them to come up now with Russ and Bibi. And I want to just encourage you as they come up to step in as part of the A team at Gateway Church, and to be all that God has created you to be. There's a picture of leadership that some of us may be familiar with that we talk about quite often, of like a triangle on its side, like an arrowhead. So leadership is not the triangle like that with the leaders on top. Leadership is the triangle on its side, where it's being a leadership from the front. Yeah, because Paul didn't say, "Come under me, as I come under Christ." Now, he did come under Christ, but he didn't say that. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Even Jesus with his disciples said, "Follow me." Servant leadership. Follow me. See, it requires a choice. God never forces us to follow. He doesn't force us into submission. The kingdom of God is based on voluntary submission. The kingdom of darkness is based on an imposition of authority. That's the kingdom of darkness model, where authority is imposed. The kingdom of light model is like that, where there's an invitation to follow. Follow. And it does require submission. But that word submission is an interesting word. It actually means to be in the right arrangement. So when wives, it says wives submit to your husbands, and wives often think of that. I'm a doormat, or no. Marriage is about two wonderful, unique individual people finding God's arrangement together and sacrificially loving leadership and joyful submission, and together as a team walking into God's inheritance. And it's the same with leadership, eldership, and with deacons leading the church. With the whole church, the 18 following behind. Okay, so I just feel like saying that. Do you want to be part of the 18? Yeah. Yeah. Good, because you are. you already are. Yeah. And so we're gonna pray for Ken and Jeanette now.